took charging?
Good? Give us a shot.
The Wi-Fi is not degraded, or the connection.
They want to stop everybody and put their phones on airplane mode.
I don't think anyone's sucker. On the same network as me.
Yours is Canadian, that's why. Justin Trudeau's strange. Is it Justin Trudeau?
Yeah. They don't know.
It's going.
Okay. They can hear us talking about Justin Trudeau. Oh, man. Hot mic, hot mic. Do you have any bottles of water?
I got water bottles.
Thank you.
Please be seated. We'll try to bring in some more chairs. We're going to get started. There are some hymnals. Does anyone, we might need to share. Does anyone not have any hymnals? If you have cell phone reception, I can give you a place where you can go to find it online. If you go to sfbcnorth.com/hymns, you can find them on there.
Now everyone knows.
I'll just but sfbcnorth.com/hymns, you can find the hymnal on there. We're going to start in hymn number 58. If you please stand with me as we sing 58, He the Pearly Gates Will Open. So much for gathering us here from both sides of the border. We're just so thankful that we have this opportunity to join together and see
see friends, see each other, see the brethren in fellowship together and hear some good preaching. I just pray that you be with us, you can fill this place with your spirit, and that everything done here today would please you and bring you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Let's go to hymn number 175. And once again, if you don't have the hymns, you can go to sfbcnorth.com/hymns, and it's going to be on there. Don't go to the Christmas ones, because we're not singing Christmas hymns today. 175, it's just like His great love.
Waves are
just like Jesus all along the way. It's just like His great love.
Amen.
All right. Good morning. Welcome to Sure Foundation Baptist Church. And let's just go through a few announcements before we start the service. It's great to see everybody. We've got a full house, so praise God for that. And we have our verse of the day is, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Psalm chapter 133, verse 1. It's been over 2 years since we've been able to fellowship with our church up here in the north, and it's really weird to just like look across the field and see that Canada's right there. Brother Sean was saying, like, wow, I know it's an imaginary line, but it just feels weird. But it's great to be here. It's great to be able to see everybody. There's a lot of new faces that I haven't got to meet yet. And so it's nice to see everybody here this morning. And a lot of people from our church have made it. Can I get somebody to count in attendance to make sure we get everybody counted today? I just want to see how many we got. Anyway, at some point. You're probably already on it, aren't you? No, he's not. He's not. What kind of leader are you anyway? Not. That's a good answer. I like that answer. All right. So just our schedule today is, of course, 11 a.m. is the preaching service. I hope you got something for breakfast. I don't know if there's anything left over. But we are having lunch at 12:30. We're going to have pizza. And so if pizza's not on your menu, then there's grass outside. Eat grass like the ox. No, I'm just kidding. Hopefully everybody's okay with pizza. And then we have 2 p.m. we're going to have another preaching service. And after that, we're going to do a little bit of fellowship, and then we're going to start cleaning up. Are we going to clean up at 4? Or 4:15-ish? We have to be out of here by 5 or they'll lock us in and make you all get vaccinated. So 4:15? So at 4:15, this place has to look like it did when we first locked in. So we have cleaning products. We have plenty of people. And so we'll probably want to limit all the kids running in and out with muddy feet at the very end. Anyway, so if you could stay and help make sure this thing looks ship-shape, that'd be great. And then maybe we could come here again, because as of right now, we can't. It's like Abraham's bosoms right here. You know, but we can't go to you and you can't come to us. So like, this is Abraham's bosom, I guess. Right here, we can all be together. Anyway, I'm just teasing. So so we have the list of the hymns that we're going to be singing are in this little sheet. So if you're standing next to somebody and they have 20/20 jet fighter vision and they can see these, I think that some of them are, nope, they're all small. Okay, that's all right. I just have to go like this, but it's okay. It's great that we have all that. And then, like you said, you have your phones. You can get the music on there, too. So other than that, I don't think we have other announcements. Is there anything else that I'm missing? So, yeah, we just need to make sure it's all cleaned up. And then thanks again, everybody, for coming. We really appreciate it. And hopefully we can do this again soon. So that's, I think, all I have for announcements. And then we'll sing another song. All right.
All right, if you please stand with me once again, we'll sing two more hymns. Start with 217. He included me.
Jesus is Only I've read whosoever may come to the fountain of life today. But when I read it, I always say, Jesus included me too. Jesus included.
Nor silver nor gold.
Is my only foundation, the draw near. The blood of the cross is my only foundation. The death of my Savior removeth my fear. I am redeemed, but not with silver. I am bought, but not with gold. Bought with a price, the blood of Jesus, precious price of love untold. Nor silver nor gold hath obtained my redemption. The way into heaven could not thus be bought. The blood of the cross is my only foundation. The death of my Savior redemption hath wrought. I am redeemed, but not with silver. I am bought, but not with gold. Bought with a price, the blood of Jesus, precious price of love untold.
Amen. You may be seated. Please turn to Psalm 133 in your Bible. Psalm 133. All right, hopefully you're there in your Bible and Psalm chapter 133. I'll start reading there in verse 1. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments. As the dew of Hermon, the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Let's pray. Lord in heaven, I just pray that you'd fill Pastor Thompson with your spirit and help us be attentive to your word being preached. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. It's great to be in America.
I wore my Donald Trump suit just so you guys would realize what country you're in, all right?
No, but it is great to be here and with all the brethren from Canada and all of our church family here. From our home church back home, and there's a lot of people I haven't seen in a long time, and I just want to thank you once again for coming. And I wanted to preach a very encouraging sermon this morning, because it's not going to get any better from there. So if you're a little squeamish, tonight's sermon, or this afternoon's sermon might not be for you, but this one is supposed to be encouraging for us, and the next one not so much. But it might encourage you to break some fellowship with certain people or to look at things a little bit differently than you normally would. I'm talking about the second sermon, but this one, it's all love and roses and candy and sweets and stuff like that. So anyway, the title of the sermon is Unity with the Brethren. Unity with the Brethren. So let's look at Psalm chapter 133, verse 1. It says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And I thought it was a fitting sermon to preach because our brethren are finally being able to dwell together in unity, and we're all getting together, and it's actually probably a little more, like, we've had services where we come up to Canada, and we have a lot of our church family come, but like I said, it's been a while. It's been over 2 years. It seems hard to believe, but it's been 2 years, but it's great to be together. The Bible says it's good and pleasant to dwell together.
Amen.
In unity.
Yeah.
Verse number 2 says, it is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment. So the Bible's saying it's like this precious ointment. And I'll explain to you more kind of what that precious ointment is a little bit later. But verse 3 says, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life
forevermore. So it's a very short psalm, only three verses, and I only have 3 points this morning. I only have 16 pages, so no, I'm just kidding. I don't really have 16 pages. Just take 10 off that, and that's what I got. Anyway, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for all these people that would rise up early and come and hear some Bible preaching and have some fellowship together on a Saturday. Let's pray, Lord, that you'd bless each and every single person for being here. I pray, the Lord, you'd work with your Spirit and that you would help me and fill me with your Spirit as I begin to preach. Lord, I pray that the sermon would be edifying to the people this morning. And again, we thank you for your blessings, Lord, and everything that you've provided for us for this trip. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So number one this morning, unity with the brethren is good and pleasant. Number one, unity with the brethren is good and pleasant. I had to fit two into 1 point here. But it's good and pleasant. And so it says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Now, what kind of unity do you think would be good for brethren to dwell together with? Well, how about doctrine? Doctrine is a good thing to be united on. Now, obviously, we don't all necessarily believe the same on every nuance of the Bible. A lot of people might take things differently in the Bible than other people, but as long as we agree on the main things, like salvation by faith alone, baptism by immersion, eternal security of the believer.
Yeah.
And, you know, we agree on the same music. You notice we didn't have a rock concert here this morning.
Amen.
We had some great old-fashioned hymns. Was
Amen.
That not a Spirit-filled
Amen.
Song service? Amen.
Amen.
And so, you know, we should be unified in our doctrine. And so it's hard. The Bible says, how can two walk together except they be agreed?
Right.
And so we want to be agreed. We want to be unified as brethren. And when we come to a service, even though one group is in Canada and one's in the United States, when we get together, we're all preaching the same stuff. We all believe pretty much the same thing. All listening to the same types of music. And not just listening, but we're singing that music to the Lord.
Yeah.
And so it's good and pleasant for us to dwell together in unity. Now, it's not, sometimes you could be with somebody and they're your brethren and you're not united. They believe a bunch of different junk and maybe it's not, and so at that point it would not be good. It would not be pleasant, because what happens when Christians get together and they don't agree? They usually end up fighting, don't they?
Yeah.
They fight about doctrine. They fight and they're not unified. But what's another good thing to be unified in? Well, how about church?
Yeah.
You know, when we get together in a church service, we're in one. We're unified together with one purpose. And what is that purpose? Well, to hear the preaching of God's word, to put those things in place in our life, and to go out and preach the gospel to the lost.
Amen. Yeah.
So, and then what's another good and pleasant thing about being unified with the brethren? Well, how about our fellowship? You know, it's hard to be unified with somebody. You know, maybe we could get together, we do the preaching, we go out soul winning, but a lot of what we do is fellowship, and fellowship means that we're of like faith, we get together, we have like beliefs and like passions, and that the Bible talks about that over and over again throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's good for us. It's that the Bible says it's good and pleasant. So good, what is goodness? Well, when God says something is good, He means it, right? So when He made everything in the beginning, He made everything good, right? And He saw that everything was good, and the evening and the morning was the first day. So everything that God made was good. And so when He says it's good, that means it's a good thing when we get together and dwell together in unity. So we're united together with the brethren. So what about prayer, soul winning? So, all these things are things that we should be unified in. When we're praying, what are we praying for? Each other's issues that we might have, or just, that so-and-so would get a job, or we get together and we pray for each other, and we're unified in those prayers. We want what? The church to grow. We want the church to do better. We want our soul winning to increase. We want, health and blessings upon our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Isn't that what we unify in when it comes to prayer?
Right.
And now unity with the brethren doesn't mean that we're in unity with the Catholic Church, the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witnesses. Okay. You know, there's an ecumenical movement out there that say, hey, we're just supposed to be one big, church. No, that's not what the Bible says. It has to be in the right kind of unity. It has to be with our doctrine.
Yeah.
It has to be the way God said and put forth in His Word.
Right.
So it's not just You've seen the New World Order Bible Versions movie, I'm sure, where they're all up on the stage at this Roman Catholic convention or something, and they're waving sage, and you got Hindus and mystics and Muslims and Jews and Catholics all together. When I look at that picture, that makes me think of wickedness.
Right.
Because that's what it is. It's wicked. Because they don't believe this thing. Most of those people don't even believe the Bible at all. As a matter of fact, I'd say zero of them believe the Bible. Because, you know, in the last days, there's going to be a one-world government. How do you think that comes to pass? Well, everybody just drops what is important, which is in this book, and they say, well, hey, for the sake of unity, let's just get rid of this.
Yeah.
Because how are they going to be unified without doing it through this book?
Right.
It's impossible.
Amen.
Right. So let's turn to Acts chapter 2, verse 41. We'll see in the early church after Pentecost, we'll see what you know, how the church of Acts was so successful. It was so successful because they were unified in their purpose and everything that they did. Actually, look at Acts 2:41. It says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So it was a great day, multiple salvations. They all got baptized. Wouldn't that be great if everybody we got saved got baptized right afterwards?
Yeah.
But that's just not how it is so much today. But people do get baptized, amen? I can baptize you today if you need to be baptized. We'll just go right out there. We'll wait till the tsunami comes in and then we'll do it. It'll make it a little more exciting. Did you guys know we're under a tsunami warning? Okay, I just want to make sure. So, you know, if we die today, you know, we'll all be in heaven together.
Amen.
In unity. Amen? But if you start hearing alarms go, that means it's time to leave. Anyway, so look at verse 42. It says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking in bread and in prayer. So they continued steadfastly. So they didn't get away from it. They stayed strong in these things. Doctrine was number one. So it's important that we have the same doctrine.
Yeah.
Fellowship, hanging around like faith believers. Breaking of bread, that means eating together. Guess what we're going to do today? We're Baptists. If we're not eating, we're not meeting.
Right.
We're going to eat some food together today.
Right.
And it says, and in prayer. So all those things I mentioned at the beginning, these things are important for us to be steadfast. We're supposed to be unmovable, always abounding to the work of the Lord. Right? And it says in verse number 43, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things in common. See, it's important for us as believers to have all things in common too. What do you have in common? Well, we have the same God, the same Lord that we serve, and the same Lord that saved us. And so we have something majorly in common, that we're all saved. Because the Bible says there's few that be saved.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can get together with a group of people and you're saved, you're on a winning track right there.
Yeah.
But it says they're all that were believed were together and had all things in common. What do you talk about when you get together in fellowship? Well, hopefully most of the time it's about the things of God.
Yeah.
Because when we get together, you know, we're iron sharpeneth iron. We're supposed to sharpen each other and make each other better, not come together for the worse, right?
Yep.
And so it says in verse 45, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And you're like, whoa, wait a second, Pastor Johnson. You're talking about selling everything. Hey, you know what? We do need to help each other out.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying sell all your stuff, but you know, we should be helping each other out as Christians. And like, I know our church is very helpful when people are in need. I know that personally, and obviously I don't want to like single anybody out or anything, but I know that our church is very giving and very helpful towards people that are in need in our church.
Amen.
And it says, and they continuing daily and with one accord in the temple and breaking in bread. See, it goes to food twice, right? All right. And from house to house, you know, maybe hospitality, and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. So basically this early church here, they did everything together. It said that they were daily in the temple. See, we go to church three times a week and we act like that's so hard. They were doing it every day.
Yep. Yeah.
And they were unified. So if we have special services where we're having, I can't believe we're having three services in a row and then we're having all, hey, just be happy that you can go more days than three.
Yeah.
Because three is like the bare minimum.
Yeah.
You know, right. It's bare minimum at a church like ours because we need it.
Yeah.
We need, and especially as dark as this world is right now, yeah. We need more unity with the brethren than we ever had before. And so it says in verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily as should be saved. So you know what? God was happy about this. I don't think that this is here as an accident. I think God wants us to know that He wants us to be together like this. He wants us to dwell together in unity. He wants us to be unified as one great soul-winning powerhouse, dragon-slaying church. Amen. Right? He wants us to go out and have one heart and one mind. And it's not... And so, like, the devil will take that kind of mentality and make it something wicked where we're all, you know, this one world government. The devil just counterfeits and copies everything that God does anyway. But when it comes to unity with the brethren, the Bible says it's good. And so God blessed that unity that they had in the early church there in Acts. And it's pleasant. Isn't it pleasant to be able to go to a church where you can talk about the post-trib rapture and nobody, like, freaks out and wakes out and tries to kick you out? Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Isn't it nice that you can get together at a church and talk about replacement theology and nobody even bats an eye? It's just like normal.
Yeah, right.
What? Do you remember the first time you ever went to a church and you didn't have to, like, you know, be worried about talking about something like that? You know why? Because it's good, and you know what? It's pleasant to be able to be around like-minded believers that believe the exact same thing as you do. Amen. Number two. This morning, unity with the brethren is precious. So it's not only good and pleasant, but it's also precious. Now, what does that word precious mean? It means of an object or substance or resource of great value, not to be wasted or treated carelessly. Amen. Not to be wasted or treated carelessly.
Amen.
Unity with the brethren is precious.
Amen.
What kind of thing would you consider precious? Isn't gold a precious metal? You know, would you just wait? Like, if you had a brick of gold, would you just treat that carelessly and act like it was no big deal? No, you'd be like shining that thing up, you know, making sure that it was okay, it was locked up, it was good to go. It's a precious thing, and when something's precious, you take care of it, and you make sure that it's taken care of and kept safe. The Bible says in verse number 2 in our text, it says, it is like the it is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garment. So it's talking about when Aaron was anointed as the high priest, when Moses had brought the people out of Egypt, and they got their special outfits that they had, the breeches, you know, the short pants and the mitre and everything on their head, and all the stuff, the linen stuff that it wouldn't make them sweat. All that, those outfits, those things were hard to make back then. They didn't have like looms like they do now. They didn't have mass production clothes where you can just go to Walmart and pick it off the shelf. These were like custom tailor-made outfits for the priest. Now, what else was custom and precious that nobody else had was this ointment. The anointing oil that was poured upon Aaron's head was like no ointment that's in the world, and it's not recreated today.
Yep.
You know, God is the one that showed Moses the pattern of the things in heaven, and it was actually, I believe, you were cut off from among your people if you tried to recreate it. So, you know how like today they have, you know, like cologne and perfume, and they're, you know, made by Chanel and all these different brands, right? Well, you know, they have like patents on those things, and people try to steal those. So they're like, you'll go to Walmart and it says smells like your car, and but it's not really your car. It's like they're copying that kind of they're trying to copy the formula that they make this cologne and perfume from, and it's usually not made with as good of products. But you know, you want to smell like you have Jacquard or Obsession on or something like that, then it lasts for like an hour instead of like 4 hours or something like that, right? So but this precious ointment that was poured on Aaron's head, it was really special. And what does oil being poured on someone represent in the Bible? It represents the anointing of the Holy Spirit, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The Spirit being poured upon the Son of God at the baptism, you know, it says I, you know, that John saw the Spirit like a, like in the form of a dove coming down upon Jesus Christ. So it's just like coming down upon him. And the Bible says that Jesus was filled without measure. And what does it make you think of when you see that it ran down his beard and down to the skirts of his garments? Like they just dumped the whole thing on his head, right? It just was like, you know, and to me, that's like one of the weirdest feelings in the world, is to have oil just like running down your face or something. But what does the Bible say about it? It says it's like the precious ointment. When you're dwelling together with unity with the brethren, it's good. It's precious. It's a precious thing. Now, let's turn to Exodus chapter 30, verse 22. We'll read more about this precious ointment that it's talking about. And remember this, that Aaron was anointed as the high priest of Israel, the first high priest of Israel. He was the brother of Moses. But what did that picture for later on? That Jesus Christ was going to be our high priest, right? And so that picture of Aaron being anointed with the oil is also a picture of Christ being anointed with oil without measure. And he was able to do all these wonderful works and all these things. He did all these miracles, healed lepers, healed blind people, and raised Lazarus from the dead when he was stinking after 4 days. You know, and I was just reading through John, if everybody's doing the New Testament challenge right now, you read that verse and you're like, I wonder if he stink when he come out. Have you ever thought about that? Like, you know, maybe he made the special perfume for him at that time. No, I don't know. But he probably didn't stink because he was alive again, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know if that lingering in the cave might have been. I don't know. But I don't know. It's just things that you think about when you read the Bible, right? I'm just sharing with you publicly on YouTube and my thoughts of the Bible. Anyway, so look at Exodus 30, verse 22. It says, moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take thou also unto thee principal spices and pure myrrh, 500 shekels, and of sweet cinnamon, half so much, even 250 shekels, and of sweet calamus, 250 shekels. So all these different spices is what God was telling Moses to take. And it says, and of cassia, 500 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, and of all oil, olive, and hin. So it was of oil, but it also had these spices, these chief and principal spices that was added to it, and it said how much to put into it, right? And it says, and thou shalt make it an oil of holy ointment, an ointment compound after the art of the apothecary. It shall be an holy anointing oil, and thou shalt anoint the tabernacle of the congregation therewith, and the ark of the testimony, and the table, and all of his vessels, and the candlestick, and his vessels, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering, with all his vessels, and the laver, and his foot. And thou shalt sanctify them, that they may be most holy. Whatsoever toucheth them shall be holy. And thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons, and consecrate them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, this shall be an holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generation. So this is not just some regular oil. This is a special anointing oil. And that's why the Bible says in Psalm chapter 133, verse 2, it says that it's like the precious ointment upon the head. It wasn't just like they beat and all, you know, they smashed some olives and just dumped it on his head. No, this was special anointing oil that they put upon him.
Yeah.
Look at verse 32. Upon man's flesh shall it not be poured, neither shall you make any other like it after the composition of it. It is holy, and it shall be holy unto you. So it's sanctified, it's set apart, it's a special anointing oil. It says, whosoever compoundeth any like it, or whosoever putteth any of it upon a stranger, shall even be cut off from his people. So it was a big deal to not try to recreate it like you're trying to make Obsession or Car. I don't even know all the, like, that was what was popular when I was a teenager. Well, is there any other popular ones? Calvin Klein or something? I don't know. I don't wear cologne anymore, but I'm not saying you're wicked if you do. I'm just saying for the purpose of this sermon, you know, people will copy these top name brand colognes and perfumes, but the Bible says that they were not supposed to You know, because it probably smelled really good. It was probably a really good smelling. And they anointed themselves. They lived in a desert place, so it was kind of a thing that they did there. But look at verse 34. It says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, take unto thee sweet spices, stakhti, and onycha, and I can't even pronounce these, galbanum. These sweet spices with pure frankincense of each shall there be a like weight. Thou shalt make it a perfume, a confection after the art of the apothecary, tempered together, pure and holy. And thou shalt beat some of it very small and put it before the testimony, the tabernacle of the congregation, where I will meet with thee. It shall be unto you most holy. And as for the perfume which thou shalt make, you shall not make to yourselves according to the composition thereof. It shall be unto thee holy for the Lord. Whosoever shall make like unto that to smell thereto shall even be cut off from his people." So God took it very seriously. This wasn't just some regular oil. Now, if you think about just what oil does a lot of different things for humanity, and like even different types of oil. Like, you know, whaling was a big thing in like probably before the 1800s, but like it kind of stopped being a bigger thing later, you know, in the like early 1900s and things like that. But people used whale blubber and oil for lighting and heating and all different types of things. So oil is a blessing, right? Any type of oil, and oil that you get from the ground, you know, your car won't run without it. Unless, does electric cars don't have oil in them, do they? Maybe the hybrids, I don't know. I don't know much about it, but oil, if you have a 66 Mustang, you know, you're going to have some oil in that thing, right? So oil is a blessing that we get, but this is a different type of oil. But in the Bible, there's different things that God uses oil for. And one of those things, of course, is anointing. And so we saw that Aaron was anointed with the oil. Turn to Psalm 104, verse 15. Psalm 104, verse 15. The Bible talks about oil being a blessing. In Psalm 104, verse 15, it says, "And wine that maketh glad..." It's talking about all the things that God makes that are a blessing in the world in this chapter, but it says, "And wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart." So oil, the Bible says, makes a man's face to shine. So it's talking about things that are blessings. So apparently that's a blessing. I don't rub oil on my face in the morning. I don't know, like, you know, I guess I don't want my face to shine. It shines enough. But the Bible does talk about it being a blessing here. Now look at James chapter 5, verse 13. James chapter 5, verse 13. So there's different properties of oil. Obviously the lamps in the tabernacle were lit by oil. They were supposed to burn all the time. So it could be used for lighting. It could be used to make your face to shine. And it could also be for healing. Now look at James chapter 5, verse 13. It says, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. And let him pray over him." What does it say? "Anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." So this is something in the New Testament that is still supposed to be practiced. Now, I don't think that we should anoint people with oil over every little cold and sniffle that they get. Otherwise, we'd be doing it a lot, because our church always seems to have people sick in it. But it's been a rough month, hasn't it? But the Bible says that this is something we should do, and we should anoint someone. If someone is really sick, that we need to pray for that person and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And is it the oil that heals them? Is it the oil that actually heals them? Look what it says, "And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." But doesn't the Bible say to anoint them with oil? So that is part of the process. Why? It's just I believe it's just a picture of the Holy Spirit, yeah. You know, heal, you know, because God can heal anybody, right. You know, God can heal the worst sinner, but he can also heal the worst sickness, yeah. As proved by the Lord Jesus Christ, filled with that measure by the Holy Spirit in his personal ministry. Yeah. So it even says your sins will be forgiven, which is good, but the prayer of faith shall save you. But that is, predicated by putting the anointing oil on them. And I don't think it's the same oil that Moses was told to make. So I think I just use olive oil. So extra virgin. But anyway, It says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now turn to Acts chapter 4, verse 29. Acts chapter 4, verse 29. So unity with the brethren is precious according to the Bible, and it's like the precious oil that was poured on Aaron and went down into his beard and down into the skirts of his garments. Look at Acts 4:29. It says, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands and houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold. So notice that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit in verse number 31. So when we as brethren get together and we are filled with the Holy Spirit, see, it says it's like the precious oil that came down Aaron's beard. But when we're all filled with that, what that oil represents, then we can do mighty things through God also.
Yeah.
And it says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And that's why it's so important for us to dwell together in unity. It's so important for us to hold our unity as something that's precious, because you know what? The Holy Spirit is precious.
Amen.
And like I said, not everybody's saved. There's hardly anybody that's saved in this world. We think, well, there's a lot of people that are saved. How often do you really run into saved people out soul
winning?
Right. It's probably as often, or maybe less. It's way less than you get. It's probably more than you get saved.
Yeah.
But you know, most people are not saved. When you knock on their door, what do they all say? Well, I'm a good person.
Right.
They're all good people. Everybody's good. The Bible says there's none good, no, not one.
Right.
That's what the Bible actually says. So, but when we get together and we have one purpose to go out and preach the gospel and to get people saved and to be a blessing in each other's lives, you know what? That is a precious thing. And it's not a thing that a lot of churches have. But you know what? Our church has that. And right now, we're all one church right here. You know what? Because your guys' church in Canada is part of our church. It's just we're not in the same location, right? So, but right now we are. And that's a blessing. It's a blessing for us to be together. It's a precious thing. And we should treat the times that we get to spend together like this as a precious thing, just like it was precious for Aaron to have that special anointing oil in his beard. Look at verse number 35. It says, "And laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according to he had need. And Joseph, who was by the apostles' surname, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." So here we have another instance in Acts. So in Acts chapter 2, it's kind of restating a similar type of situation where they're all filled with the Spirit and a bunch of people get saved and they go out and they preach boldly. You know, sometimes we just need to be able to get together and give each other that boldness. Because, you know, when you're all alone, you know, it's a lot harder. Like, if anybody's not been in a church, but you were already like, "I need to go soul winning. I need to get plugged in. I need to listen. I can't just listen to sermons on the internet. I actually got to be in church. I actually got to be around God's people."
Yep.
Look, it's a big part of your Christian life.
Amen.
It's not something that you should take lightly.
Amen.
If you can be in a great church, well, then be in a great church.
Amen.
And let me tell you something. Not all churches are great churches.
Right.
They're not. And is our church perfect? You'd probably say, no, it's not. Like, people are already like, nope. It's not perfect, but you know what? It's a great church. And we have one purpose. Do you think that that your church in Canada, do you think soul winning is made a big deal out of?
Right.
It is. In our church, it's a big deal. Hey, we have people soul winning all the time. I see your guys' posts. I see, hey, pin dropped here. Who's coming? It's the same thing at our church. People are always just constantly soul winning. And you know what? When we get together, it kind of empowers us. And it gives us that boldness to go back out there. Because you know what? Sometimes it gets tiring. Sometimes it gets lonesome. And sometimes we need each other and that precious fellowship that we have together to spur us on to continue doing great works. Because you know what? Just honestly, we might not always be able to be together. We might not always be able to be together. There is coming a time, a great tribulation on this earth, and who knows what things are going to be like. Look at what they're doing right now.
Right.
How many churches are at? I mean, we're having an in-person church service in the middle of a pandemic. It's like, But you know what? Most churches are not even gathering together still for in-person church services. It's like, you probably have already gotten it by now, people. You know? The Omicron is going to finish us all off. We're all going to be immune at that point. I'm not saying finish us off as in this. I'm saying everybody should be immune after this outbreak, okay? But they're going to just keep doing. They're just going to keep, you know. It's just like the Iraq war thing. Some of you are probably don't even know what I'm talking about. But anyway, George Bush, when he went in, said they have weapons of mass destruction and all that. And then, like, at first, all the media was on his side. And the Muslims were the bad guys and all that stuff. 9/11, all that happened. But then the media turned against him and hated him. Like, he was like Donald Trump style people. Like, a lot of you are young and don't probably remember this, but everybody hated George Bush. But it's nowhere near the hatred that they have for Donald Trump. Donald Trump, like, magnified like 50 times over, right? And it's like, Donald Trump didn't even put us in a war.
Yeah.
I mean, our economy was good. It's like, I don't know what they were so mad about. But, just because their guy wasn't doing it or something like that. But you know what they did in the media then? And they do the same stuff now. They would put how many dead soldiers on the screen the whole time, every newscast. And, you know, it would change as you're watching the news. This is how many dead soldiers there are in Iraq. But it's the same kind of thing that they do now. And they want us to be scared and afraid of everything and scared to fellowship and scared to soul win, scared to preach. And, you know, I'm sure it works on people. It does. And, you know, just turn the media off.
Yeah.
And then you'll just live a normal life like you always were.
Amen.
You know, you have to put a mask on when you walk in the store. Big deal. So you have to put a mask on when you're flying on an airplane. Big deal. I mean, I know it's not fun. I hate it. But is it the worst thing that we could endure? No, I think running for the hills and hiding and not having any food or anything to drink or any way to support your family unless you take the mark of the beast, I think that'd be a lot worse, don't you? I think we can survive in this pandemic a little bit. So, again, Aaron is a picture of the high priest, Jesus Christ, who had the Holy Spirit poured on him without measure. Look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Then I'll move on to my last point after this. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. The Bible says, for we have not an high priest. Excuse me. Verse 14. I was reading verse 15. Sorry. Seeing that then we have. Yeah, that's the same verse, right? Oh, no, it's not. It's two different ones. Okay. All right. That's messing me up. All right. Seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. See, Jesus Christ is our high priest, and he's going to be our high priest forever.
Yeah.
And just like we are sealed with the Holy Spirit now, he is sealed with the Holy Spirit forever, and we are sealed with the Holy Spirit forever. Mm. We might experience some kind of death process, but it's only going to be the death of our body.
Yeah.
So the moment we close our eyes for the last time, we're going to be in heaven. All
right,
if you're saved today, the moment you close your eyes for the last time, you're going to be with the Lord.
Amen.
That's what the Bible teaches.
Right.
So, but if you're not saved, you're going to be in flames and in hell.
Yeah.
So we want to be on the side that's, you know, going to heaven, right? Amen? Amen. So point number three, unity with the brethren is like precipitation. It's like precipitation. I took a little license with this one, but look at verse number three in our text. So dew is like precipitation. It does get things wet, right?
Yeah.
So I was trying to put all these peas together like Pastor Hines, but I'm just not as good as him. Anyway, So number three, unity in the with the brethren is like precipitation. It says in verse number three, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. So this is a great verse here too, because it says it's as the dew. Now, we're experiencing 2 days of drought right now. Like, on the way up here yesterday, it was so beautiful. It was like the sun came out right when we got past, like, you know, Longview or whatever. Maybe it was like Olympia. But then, like when we were driving up and we drove through Seattle, you could see mountains on each side. I think there were the mountains you guys enjoy over here that you can't climb up because they're too steep. But it was just mountains on every side. It was just completely beautiful outside. The sun was shining. It was awesome. But, you know, when we think of rain, we don't necessarily think of it as a blessing, do we? Because we kind of get to the point where we're like, really? It was a blessing, like the first time it rained after the summer. But, you know, we live in the Northwest where it rains a lot. We kind of live in this, like, natural rain, mountain, forest-type weather. And so it's hard for us to maybe picture it like the psalmist is picturing it here. Because when it rains in a desert place, it is a blessing. Right. And people are like, so when there's a drought in a desert, it's really bad. Because there is a raining season in most deserts. But so it says that, you know, dwelling with brethren in unity is like the dew. And a dew is a blessing. When it rains or when there's precipitation in the desert or in a desert place, it is a blessing. And look what it says. It's like the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. And when I think about this verse, I think about the living waters that the Lord Jesus provides for us. When we get saved, you know, you talk to the woman at the well, and he said, you know, if you would have known the gift that you would have asked, then I would have given thee living waters.
Yeah,
so he talks about these living waters and this well of life that bubbles up into your soul. And so I don't think it's an accident here that it says that it's a blessing, even life forevermore. So what is this actually talking about here? You know, if it rains one time, it's not a blessing forevermore, is it?
No.
But that holy, you know, when you get the Holy Spirit, when you get that water that wells up in your soul, it's like a dew that gives you life forevermore.
Amen.
You know, everybody's probably got a bottle of water with them. If you drink of this water, you're going to be thirsty again. I'm going to be thirsty again after I drink this. I'm thirsty again. No, I'm just kidding. But Jesus is talking about a water that you'll never thirst again with.
Yeah.
Isn't that going to be amazing that we get to dwell together forever? I mean, if you don't like each other right now, you got forever to work your problems out. You're like, I really don't like that person. Well, maybe God's just going to have your mansion next door to his. I mean, or theirs. Think about that. You're going to work it out. You're going to dwell together. Look at Acts chapter 28. Let's turn to Acts chapter 28. Now, Paul, he went through a lot of hard things in his life. And when we get to the end of Acts, he's gone through these shipwrecks where he's out and like they have to throw everything overboard. They go to they crash land on this Gilligan's Island or whatever, and you know he's just putting these fags in the fire, you know, these sticks in the fire, these bundles of sticks. He throws them in, and a snake reaches out and latches onto him, right?
Yeah.
So he goes through a lot of stuff, and then he's road weary, you know, and we can feel that way as Christians. We're just we got so much going on that sometimes it just feels like a big grind.
Yeah, right.
And anybody can feel that way. I know I feel that way. I'm sure you as Christians, when we have a lot of stuff going on, like, you know, back-to-back services up near the Canadian border, and then we have to drive all the way back home 4 hours and have another service, and you guys got to drive, what, 45 minutes? Anyway. but you know what? Sometimes, you know what makes that good is when you get to dwell together with your brethren once again. Because it might be crazy going back home with all your kids in the car, but when you get back to church, you get to have all your smiling, happy faces on again. Right? Look at Acts chapter 28. So Paul, You know, he comes to the end of this journey and he finally gets to Rome. And what's at the end of Rome for him? He pleaded to go to Caesar. And the Caesar that he's going to is not the nice Caesar. It's the crazy Caesar. It's Nero. And Nero was a very wicked person, a total reprobate.
Yeah.
And I don't know how bad he was at this point when Paul went to see him, but I'm sure Paul had probably heard some things about him. But look at how he responds in verse 11. It says, "And after 3 months, we departed in a ship of Alexandria, which had wintered in the isle, whose sign was Castor and Pollux, and landed at Syracuse. We tarried there 3 days. Thence we fetched the compass and came to Rhegium. And after 1 day, the south wind blew, and we came the next day to Puteoli, where we found brethren, and where we desired to tarry with them 7 days, and so we went toward Rome. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage." You know, sometimes when we're dwelling together, when we get together with the brethren, it's like having that fresh dew upon us. It helps us and strengthens us and gives us power to move forward in our Christian lives, because Paul, you know, he'd been through all these journeys, he's been through all these hard times, and he even spent the night at some brethren's house. But when he finally saw, these brethren came to meet him. You know, and it's great to be supportive of each other in this kind of way. We don't even know the blessing that we could be for another Christian when we just reach out and do something nice for them.
Amen.
I feel like that they did something really nice for Paul. You know what Paul did? It says, when he saw these brethren, he thanked God and took courage.
Amen.
Because he'd been through a lot.
Yes.
You know what? Maybe you're going through a lot in your life right now, but you know what the worst thing for you to do is get away from your brothers and sisters
That's
in Christ.
Right.
It might feel right for you to go back to Egypt, but I'll tell you what, God has, you know, all throughout the Bible, going back to Egypt is not a positive thing.
Right.
Going back to Egypt is like going back to the world and the sinful life that you used to live in.
Right.
There's nothing for you there.
Yeah,
there's not happiness. Once you get saved and then you try to go back to your old life, it's never the same.
Amen.
It's never going to feel right. You're never going to feel right about it. You're always going to have this nagging thing that you say, "I need to get right. I need to get right. I need to get right." You know where that road ends. Don't go back towards that road.
Amen.
Don't go back to Egypt. Didn't God say multiple times, don't go back to Egypt.
Amen.
Don't multiply horses from there. Don't get anything from there. Because you know what? All you're going to learn is wickedness.
Yeah.
All you're going to learn is idleness. You're just going to go back and you're going to be worse than you were before.
Amen.
Listen to me. It's better to take courage with the brethren than it is to go back to Egypt.
Good.
Maybe your health is bad right now. Maybe you're hurting right now. Maybe you've lost a loved one right now. But let me tell you something. Going back to the world is not going to make that feel better. You know what you ought to do? Thank God and take courage with your brethren.
Good.
So look at what it said. Well, let's see. What verse was I at? Okay, he took courage. Now skip down to verse 27. Now, actually, I'm sorry. I'm looking at my notes wrong here. Let me get to this chapter real quick. I just added this after I'd already put my sermon in. So, okay, Acts 28. Sorry, the last scriptures in the chapter. All right, look at verse number 30. So Paul God spared him a lot. He allowed him to have people come in. He still was getting people saved while he was in jail.
Yeah.
It's pretty weird, like they would let you have visitors that you could just get saved, you know? And so, you know, usually the prison ministry, you know, people come to you, right? But people came to Paul to get saved instead of the other way around. Anyway, look at verse 30. It says, "And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him." So Paul the Apostle, you know, just think about that. Just with the strength he had of those brethren coming to see him was like precipitation when you actually need it. It's like water when you're actually thirsty.
Amen.
Right? You know when you're really thirsty and it's like nothing else is going to satisfy that thirst like a cold glass of water?
Yeah.
It's not going to be a Coke. It's not going to be a Mexican Coke. It's not going to be any kind of soft drink that you could think of. The only thing it's going to satisfy is that water, and that water is a blessing. And the water that it's talking about in chapter 133 here in Psalms is the blessing of life evermore. So it takes water. Everybody knows that, right? You can go a long time without food, but you can't go a long time without water. You have to have water. I think it's about 3 days, and then you'll die of thirst or whatever. So water is important. It is a blessing. The scriptures talk about it being a blessing. It's basically what makes the whole earth live, if you think about it. Everything thrives because of water. Now, if you get too much water, it can destroy things. I obviously understand that. But when brethren to get together, it's like the fresh rain. It's like, you know, when you on the 4th of July, do you guys have, you don't have to fly there. What do you have that's like that?
Canada Day.
Canada Day. Was there like a big revolution or something? No? They decided. We'll find something that we can copy America with. No, I'm just kidding. Well, in America, we have the 4th of July. No. But when you light off a bunch of fireworks, have you ever noticed that it usually rains the next day and washes all that stuff away? It's like a natural thing that happens for some reason that God just, you know, finds a way to purify the air. Or like when a thunderstorm happens, have you ever smelled the air after a thunderstorm kind of zaps all those ions or whatever, and it like smells like fresh rain? That's a blessing.
Yeah.
When the air smells fresh, I think.
Amen.
People were talking about when we came up here that the air smelled really fresh here. I didn't smell anything. It's still I'm a long hauler with the COVID stuff, but I didn't smell anything. But my wife says, I think I smell a blessing. But there's somebody else that was talking about how nice it smelled coming up here. But anyway, you know, God has his way of making things, you know, be refreshing. And one of those things is when like a fresh rainstorm or a thunderstorm, rain washes away scum, doesn't it? Rain cleans the air, it preserves life on the whole earth, and you know, every plant needs it, every fish needs it, every animal needs it, and all of mankind need it. So let's look at John chapter 4 verse 13. I'm getting close here. Pizza's not here yet, right? Who cares? You don't want any pizza anyway, do you? John 4 verse 13. Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now turn to Matthew chapter 8, verse 10. Matthew 8, verse 10. So there's Jesus talking about this water that will well up into a water springing up into everlasting life. It'd probably be nice in those days to have like a place that had a spring where you could just go get fresh water. Because like if you live at the coast or something, you probably have to boil it or, you know, something. We live in a very blessed time where we could just turn on a faucet.
Yeah.
And for the most part, I know the fluoride, whatever. We don't have fluoride in Portland, just so you know. But, you know, it is still a blessing. Like, I know if you didn't have bottled water, you know, if things were really bad, the tsunami hit or something like that. Would you drink the tap water? I would. There's a blessing in it. You know, just turn it on and drink. You know, it's not necessarily the best thing to do all the time, but I would drink the faucet water before I drink anything out of the ocean or anything out of a river. If you just drink water out of a river, it could kill you. So kids, don't just like scoop up water and put it in your mouth, because it could put some stuff in your body that you can't get out. Anyway, just a little warning there for the Cub Scouts. Anyway, Matthew chapter 8, verse 10. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But you know what he's never going to say to us? See, there's a lot of Jews that believe that they're the God's chosen people, but what's the Bible say? It's not going to be, we're going to actually be the ones that get to sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and fellowship with them.
Yep.
Isn't that cool? Like, we're the, you know, we're all brethren here. We get to hang around each other. But there's going to be a day coming where we're in heaven and we're actually sitting down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Yeah.
And just chilling, hanging out. You know, that'd be pretty cool. I mean, there's, it's not just the fellowship in this life that we have to look forward to. We have fellowship forever. And like I said, you're stuck with each other. So, and there's some of you I might not want to hang out with for the next 10,000 years. But you know, after that, we'll be good. No, I'm just kidding. But you know, that term safe spaces is like this liberal term, right? But in eternity, we're going to have one big giant safe space. Like, you think about our churches right now, like, they're kind of a safe space for us.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the reasons why we like to go to church and fellowship with the same types of people. And currently, our churches are like a safe space, but they're not completely safe, are they? Because we have, you know, these wolves trying to come in and not spare the flock. We have infiltrators that come in and try to destroy the church. We have false brethren crept in unaware. And we have false doctrine that always tries to rear its ugly head up and destroy our safe place.
Yeah, right.
And so church is a great place to go, and I'm totally encouraging you to stay in church and be in church, but it's not the safe space that it's going to be in heaven, mm-hmm. right? So I'm not trying to sound like a liberal here about safe spaces. Yeah. You know, there's a bunch of freaks and weirdos that need a safe space because they get their feelings hurt or whatever. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about safe space from the wicked of this world,
right.
from the
right.
sinful people that would come and try to destroy our church. But there's a coming day when we're going to have a safe space for 1,000 years.
Amen.
Isn't that going to be cool?
Yeah.
Like, in anybody here that's saved, you're going to have a new glorified body during that 1,000-year reign. Now, the people that live afterwards, after the rapture happens, there's going to be people that will be saved that will go into the millennium. And they'll be saved, but they won't have the blessings that we have right now. But Jeremiah chapter 33. Go ahead and turn to Jeremiah 33. I know I'm running out of time here, but I just want to show you some encouraging things about heaven. Because heaven's going to be like our safe space. You know, where we don't have to worry about any of that junk coming in. There'll be no wolves, no false prophets, nobody trying to come to kill and destroy us. Look at Jeremiah 33, verse 14. It says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised into the house of Israel, to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. And in those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherein she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness." So there's that 1,000-year reign of Christ, and it says that people that live in Jerusalem will dwell safely. That means you won't have to worry about people coming and messing with you. That 1,000-year reign of Christ, if anybody steps out of line, they're going to be dashed to pieces like a potter's vessel. And so we will rule and reign with Christ, and it won't be unsafe for us. Because you know what? If you have a glorified body, nothing can hurt you.
Yeah.
Nothing can kill you. So even if someone did try to do that, they would just get smoked. You know? They live a long life until they ran into you, right? And so, and then we'll also have that safe space to dwell together in unity for all eternity. Look at Revelation chapter 21, verse 6. Revelation chapter 21, verse number 6. It says, "And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." So this is, you know, the water of life that God gives us, it's free, and it's going to be something that, you know, we're going to enjoy for all eternity with God. Look at verse number 27. It says, "And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither worketh abomination, whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." So these types of people that can creep into churches now, they won't be able to do that later on.
Amen.
They're not going to be in heaven.
Yeah.
You know what? And it's God's house. God can put in heaven whoever he wants. You know how he chose to do that? You have to believe in his son.
Amen.
You have to put your faith in his son. And then he is the propitiation for your sins, the appeasement of God's wrath. And God, who could judge you to hell, says, you know what? I'm going to give them heaven.
Amen.
That's what he's declared in his word. And these types of freaks, all these people that make lies and want to defile and work abomination, you know, there's not going to be any homos in heaven.
Amen.
Isn't that what an abomination is?
Yeah.
That's what it says.
Yep.
Look at verse 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, and they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates of the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. This could be our safe space. We don't have to worry about these types of people being around us ever again.
Yeah.
You know what? God's going to wipe all of our tears away from our eyes. And we're not going to remember those former things anymore. And it's probably a good thing. You're like, I don't know if I want my mind wiped like that. Well, you're going to want it. Trust me.
Amen.
Because to have to think about your loved ones in hell, the people that you tried so hard to get saved on this earth, the ones that you prayed for every day, the ones that you reached and they said, you know what? I don't want that. I don't want to have anything to do with you anymore. I'm sure there's people in this room that have had that happen to them. It's a bad feeling. You know, and just to think that they could have chose something differently and enjoyed that, you could have enjoyed that life with them for all eternity, it's sad. It's a sad thing. And so when we're in heaven, we're not going to want to think about that kind of stuff. Look at verse number 5 in the same in chapter 21. Just go back a chapter there. Actually, look at verse number 4. It says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more pain, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. All that stuff's going to be gone. All the things that we cry and heartache about, it's going to be over.
Amen.
And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. So let it be written, so let it be done. That's what the Bible says. These are the words of Jesus. If you have a red letter edition, these words are true and faithful. And so we will dwell there with brothers we've never met. We'll dwell there with the people that we would find, you know, we would think are like famous people in the Bible. Like, David, what was it like to kill Goliath? You know, like, that's going to be cool.
Yeah.
Right? So in conclusion, unity of the brethren is more important and more of a blessing than you can actually realize.
Right.
Hopefully this opened you up to thinking about how much of a blessing it really is. Because sometimes we can be around each other too much and we can start thinking, well, this person kind of annoys me or whatever. You know, they're not going to be annoying in heaven, so just think of it that way. But you know, and look, you don't have to be best friends with everybody that you go to church with or whatever. But, you know, you can still be nice. You can still say hello. You can still say God bless you. You can still pray for that person.
Amen.
You know, we don't have to be best friends with everybody at church, but, you know, we should love each other.
Amen.
We should love the brethren.
Yeah.
And we should call it a blessing that we get to fellowship and be with them. So, you know, and yes, we do everything together. And it probably gets old to some people sometimes, and I'm sure it does. But it is biblical. It is good. It is pleasant. It is precious. And it's like the morning dew. It's like that fresh oil that went down Aaron's beard. And we ought to enjoy it and thank God for the blessings that we have and the unity that we have in this church. Even though we haven't seen each other in a long time, isn't it a blessing to be able to just fellowship? And we'll have some time to fellowship if I get done with this sermon. So with that, I am going to be done with this sermon. But we're going to sing another song. And let's pray real quick. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for the blessing that we have of being unified here in one purpose, one faith, and one purpose for the hope of the gospel. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to stick and stay in church and to love our brothers and sisters in Christ and to pray for them. And Lord, that we would count it as a blessing that we can get together like we have this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, if you stand with me, we'll close with one hymn. Hymn number 238. 238, Christ liveth in me.
Could see, but in
Spirit, thank you so much for your word, and thank you for the hymns to sing, and thank you for the opportunity to gather here. We just pray that we don't take this for granted, the opportunity to gather in your name, Canada and USA together. We just pray that you bless us as we go on our way and eat some food, and in your holy precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You are dismissed.
Hang on real quick. Hey, is anybody leaving right away or anything? We wanted to take a pic. There's actually the Peace Arches down there. I wanted to get a picture with everybody down there. So are you so starving that you can't go right now?
Might not even be here. It's going to be here. Pizza will be here any minute. It might be here. It might not.
All right. Can we all just gather down? Everybody get a picture. Who's going to take the picture? It's not going to be me.
We'll bring this.
All right. You go ahead and play it for me. I'm sorry.
Let's go right down there.
Who gets the attendance number, Pastor Thompson?
Is this a sure foundation of Baptist Church?